Now I'm on. My mistake, sorry. Anyway, not only do we get to hear wonderful music, but we also get to hear original music. Everything we've heard thus far has been their own creation. Well, good morning and welcome on this beautiful morning. There's an expression, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You've heard of it? Yes, it's pretty obvious, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and it seems that when we think about it, it just makes sense, it rings truth. It's kind of one of those pithy sayings that's got a lot of truth to it, and basically it's just saying that when there is, it takes effort or risk or something, otherwise we won't get where we're going or get what we want. It's just sort of makes sense. I am not going to be physically fit if I stay on the couch all the time. It's just not going to happen. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You have to put something out. And yet, I have worked for many years, I don't know about you, but I've worked for many years to be more accepting, to try to be in a place where I don't get upset about this and just, and to go with the flow. So are we to be accepting or trying to expend some effort? Jesus was asked by a rich man. I have the impression he was a young rich man. I may have made that up, but in Scripture, this young rich man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, what do I have to do to get to the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said, "Well, what you need to do is go and sell all of your possessions, all your things, and then give the money to the poor, and then come back." And the man hung his head and went off. He couldn't do that. So then, are we to think that we are to give away everything that we have, or are we to? What do we do with that if we are Unity Truth students? And then a third question or thing to think about is, in our prosperity class, there was a writing, a phrase that really stuck with me when we talked about it. And that phrase was, put feet to your prayers. What does that mean? Put feet to your prayers. So I thought that as we look at these questions and kind of relate it to prosperity, because that's sort of what we've been talking about all month, actually, how do we approach this? All of us want to be better truth students. We come here because we want to be better at doing this. What do we do? Well, as a Unity Truth student, we have a bit of an edge, because for each of these questions, these situations, we have basically one answer, and it's in our thinking. We know that there is the truth for either one of those, and it is so like, if I look at one of them, the first one about my mind is just jumping all over the place, sorry. Okay. Whether we're supposed to be just accepting or reach out for things. If we look at that, there is no right or wrong answer. If we're looking at acceptance, so it might be good to be accepting of where we are, and it might be not so good to be accepting of where we are. There is no right or wrong answer. It depends on our thinking. The same is true for the money, the rich, and the same for putting feet to your prayer. And actually, all three of those go together. So as I was thinking about this, it's sort of like, well, what if it's both? Maybe it isn't either or. Maybe it's both and. Maybe it's both accepting and reaching out. Maybe it's both giving and holding on to. Maybe it's, well, and we'll learn about putting feet to your prayer. That's kind of getting it all done. What if it's all of that? So if it's our thinking, Some examples might be helpful. In the first one, they're reaching out or just accepting things. One example that came to mind as I was preparing was in 2001 when I got a diagnosis from actually hospital staff that I had asthma. I was 53 years old, you know, and I hadn't had any of that ever before. Well, maybe just a little experience with when I shoveled snow in cold. You know, I'd get a little winded, you know, not a big deal. Just don't shovel snow in the cold. Find somebody else, get my son, you know. But this particular morning, I'd begun to have trouble when I was in school, ministry school, and I'd begun to have trouble with breathing. And this particular morning, I woke up and I was really having trouble getting my breath. So it scared me. I drove myself to the ER, and they gave me a couple of the treatments, nebulizer things or whatever they're called, and the doctor came in and he said, "Well, I think it's that you have asthma." And I said, "I don't have asthma." And he said, "It's probably triggered by allergies." And I said, "No, I don't have any allergies." However, I did go get some testing, the allergic tests that they do on your scratching your back and all that. And sure enough, I'm allergic to dogs and cats. Oh, too bad. Let me get the medicine then. So it took me a while to accept it. I railed for a while, and I, you know, because I'm in Unity Ministerial School, for crying out loud. You know, I can't be having asthma. What is that? Well, then what I came to learn was that the truth of me hasn't changed. The truth of me is that I am a whole, perfect being, healthy, vibrant. In the relative world, here where I am right now, at this moment, at that moment, and, you know, still have moments, in that moment I was experiencing symptoms. But if I take the longer view, the view that the truth, I was able to accept all of it. It isn't hard for us to see children who are teething and know that their pain and their discomfort is a temporary thing, that once those teeth come through, they're going to be much better off than they were before, and, you know, and the pain will be forgotten. So I try to take that kind of mindset when things like this come along. So it is an acceptance of, well, this is what I'm experiencing right now, but I know the truth of what's going on. The reaching out and the putting feet to your prayers part, I think, has to do with, if I had stayed in that place of, I don't have asthma and I don't have allergies, then I'd be reaching out probably for something external in a state. But actually, in a place of acceptance, reaching out means, well, what can I do right now here with what I've got? And that means that I went to the doctor. This is putting feet to the prayers. I want to be whole, healthy. What is it going to take? And I was receptive, and they said, "Okay, this is your allergy." I said, "I'm not getting rid of my dogs." So, okay, here's some tablets you can take. Okay. Yeah. So putting feet to my prayers was what I needed to do. Underneath all that, the thinking is probably the most important. And it is, in any of these kinds of situations, that's asthma, but it is the thinking that makes it either a positive or negative thing. It's what we want to do. If we look at money, for example, if you look at your bank account statement and there's not a number on there that you want to see, the number you want to see is bigger than what you're seeing on the paper. When you know truth, when you apply that, when you look at that, you can say, well, I know that God is source and that my good will come to me. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but it will come. I'm okay. There is that trust, and so we don't get all caught up in the fear. We also want to be open and receptive so we can listen to guidance. Maybe we'll get maybe somebody will show up on your doorstep and say, "We'd like to play," you know, or maybe someone will call you and say, "I'm looking for someone who can do this part-time job." Maybe you'll get an unexpected gift of cash in the mail. You know, you don't know where it's going to come from. You have to be open and receptive to whatever guidance you get, whatever seems to be coming through. When we look at those kinds of situations, though, from a place of lack, that's where we will not experience fullness, will not experience happiness, will not experience peace of mind. If in any of those we're experiencing not enough, or I don't have it, or if it's health, oh my gosh, I'm sick, I said in class the other night, I come from a long line of warriors, and so it doesn't take much to get to the point, what if it's this, or what if it's that? So the lack or limitation, fear ideas can come in and block all that too. Money, if we can get to be really fearful. We can get to be in an accepting place in any of those kind of situations for the wrong reasons. And we already heard about some of these last week, the toxic myths. Well, that's just the way it is. You know, I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't live in the right place. Just pick something that we feel like we're not enough of. And if that is the acceptance that we're feeling, that's not what we want. So we don't want lack, and we don't want that feeling of, oh well, this is just the way it is. So what do we do? What do we do then? I think that it's important to remember to go with the flow. I think it's important to remember that in any of this giving or being calm, it's about flow. There's a man named Richard McDeasy who was at Unity Village, and he did all the music for the retreats and events that were there. He's still very involved in a group called Empower. But anyway, he's got a song that says, if you want more money, give it away. If you want more love, give it away. It's a beautiful song. It's wonderful. And it's really true, because what we give sets up a reaction. That's the law of prosperity, which is what we've been teaching for all month. You know, sets up the flow. So what we give, we will receive. Coming back. How can I do that? And it comes to, I think, being generous. We don't have to really look at every single one of our actions. We don't have to be reviewing constantly what we want or need to do if we can just remember to be generous. And if you remember the first week that we talked about prosperity, I mentioned a video that we all watched. It was a video that talked about generosity. There was a term they called giftivism. You know, it's the radical acts of kindness thing. And in that video, the young man, it was a TED Talk, and in that video, he talked about that generosity is our innate way of being. That is who we are. We are generous by nature, which kind of flies in the face of what society tells us, but it is true. Ask yourself, last time you did something for somebody or gave something to someone, didn't it feel good? It does. It feels great. So we are generous by nature. Well, what do we do with that? Well, I have a suggestion. Of course I do. Kristen, and I saw her back there, yes, was kind enough to go to the website after watching this video, and there is a website. It is www.kindspring.org, and I've got that written down, so if you want it. It's a wonderful website. They endorse and support radical acts of kindness. I think it says, where did I see that? A global movement of kindness is what they say on their website. When we are generous, we can be generous with anything. We can be generous with our time. Certainly we can be generous with our money, you know, but we can be generous with our time, and we can be generous with our talents, and we can be generous with our resources. Max, I believe, let us use his truck for some things here at church. So this is one of the most generous groups of people I know. So they're always giving of themselves. So when I say generosity, I don't want your first thought to be going to money, but it is all of that. It is all of that. And so when you are going to think about, well, how can I be generous? What if we all did that? We'd all decided to be generous. What if we took that on? Here, this is the month of gratitude, Thanksgiving. What if we took it on? I would encourage you to go to that website. They have these little, I printed these off. These are just this, you, Kristen's got hers. Woo! They're called smile cards. And it says, you've just been tagged. Experiment in anonymous kindness is the name of the game, and now you're it. On the back, it says, someone reached out to you with an anonymous act of kindness. Now it's your chance to do the same. Do something nice for someone. Leave this card behind and keep the spirit going. And then it's got the website. I think this is really doable. I mean, all of us can do this. I have some more. Looks like Kristen got some. You're welcome to take one or two or several. I'll print more. We'll get some more. Okay, what timing. God is so good. So I wanted to share with you what it says, what happens when you do this. If you were to do an act of kindness every day, they have challenges on that website. So we're looking at, they're saying 21-day, 3-week commitment. You can join a challenge. You can start a new challenge, you know, doing something, these acts of kindness. And what it says here, it says, there are 4 points. It says, do an anonymous act of kindness. 2, leave a smile card to encourage them to pay it forward. 3, share your story. You can go to the website and then put your story on there if you like. And then 4, and this is the one I really like, change the world one kind act at a time. We talk a lot here about being the light of the world, about being peaceful, about being loving. We are all of that. And yet there's a place for us. There is a job for us to do, and it is to be, as like the Daily Word said, to be Christ in expression, to be the glory. And so it is in giving of ourselves that we're able to do that. So I would really encourage you to consider picking up a smile card or two, to consider making a commitment to for 3 weeks to give of yourself in some way, some act of kindness to do something. We can make a difference. We are making a difference. The lights that I see here and now are already shining, and when we decide to give of ourselves, those lights shine even more. I am grateful for all of you. Let's take a moment now to, as we do each week, to practice the presence. And we do that by relaxing. We consciously and purposely relax our bodies, allowing the seat to fully support you. Take a deep breath and release. When we sit quietly, we can just almost feel the busyness, the tension drain, and we allow that. We have our outer eyes closed, but within, We can see all of those places in our bodies that might still be holding some tension. And so we consciously and purposely relax those places. And we breathe. As we slow our breath and deepen those breaths, we let go even more. It is in the quiet that we have a chance to reconnect with the truth of who and what we are. I tend to think of God as energy that is in and through, around, above, below, behind, everywhere present. And that energy, that God, that life force works in us, is us. And when we are quiet, when we are still, we become aware of that in us, and we become open and receptive to it. In that quiet, we may get the guidance that we've been seeking, or we might simply be feeling relaxed. It is the quiet, the openness, the receptivity that allows our higher self, that divinity, God in us, to be known, to speak, to move. We are immersed in the presence when we allow ourselves to be. And so we do this regularly. We do it every Sunday. We do it at home as we can. And it is in these times of connection that we are renewed. We are re-energized. We become closer and closer to the truth of our beings, the wholeness, the perfection that is each of us. We set ourselves up to be open and receptive to guidance and wisdom when we go about our business. The mail comes at just the right time. We see a billboard with the answer we've been looking for. Someone you overhear talking says just the phrase that you needed. We become open and receptive, and like radio frequencies, we tune in to the divine, and we hear and experience the divine. And so now, as we do each week, we set aside some time to just be, to be in the silence, to be still, to be one in the silence. as we connect today and every day that we do this. We experience our hearts opening wider and wider. We experience the love that is God infusing us more and more, pushing out fear, pushing out all thoughts of lack or limitation. We allow ourselves to be filled with love, for our hearts to be open beacons of love. And we take that love out into the world. We are grateful. Grateful for the awareness that God is ever present. Grateful for our oneness and our knowledge of our oneness. Grateful for these times of connection. Grateful for this community of loving hearts. Grateful for the beautiful fall day. Grateful for the blessings. And in this month of gratitude, we are grateful. So in much love and in much gratitude, we come together now to pray the way Jesus taught us, to pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.